You are listening to a special episode of the Just Because I Love You podcast coming to you from our budding homeschool co-op. I'm Amanda, and I'm here with Megan and Tabby to talk about how hard parenting has been this week, but why we're doing it anyway. Come be a fly on our schoolhouse wall.
Now this enchilada sauce. And I was like, what happened?
Oops. I actually cut that music out way earlier than I meant to. So sorry if that's
jarring.
Yeah. Sorry if that was, if that left something to be desired there.
If you're hearing about all my rotten canned goods.
I don't think anybody could really tell what the conversation was. It's just kind of a buzz that is going on in the background.
I'm mad about them because they weren't supposed to expire till 2024, and it is not 2024, and they were all.
Where'd you get them? Was it like an Aldi thing, or was it that discount store?
No,
that discount store can be kind of sketchy.
Megan's phone is ringing, and she's got to take it.
That means I get the microphone.
I only packed two microphones.
Do you see the stance that I'm in right now?
We're sitting in these little kindergarten-sized chairs over this kindergarten-sized table with two microphones instead of the normal
and
one
I'm
for each
so
of us.
So big.
And she's pregnant, so she looks like she's on a birthing stool.
I look like I'm about to go poop.
Or a sumo wrestler.
Yeah, like my knees are all wide. I have to bend down. It's very ungraceful. I feel very unattractive.
So, yeah, this morning, in addition to packing three different backpacks full of, like, textbooks and things, I also had to get a laptop for my son and snacks for everybody. And
I had to pack a whole lunch because my kids won't make it home from the drive.
Yes. And then I also had to grab the Rodecaster, which is what we use to podcast. And I was like, I don't think I want to put all four microphones in the car. Turns out Marla couldn't be here anyway.
So we almost did it.
Yeah.
We almost had the right amount of microphones.
But Megan's here, but then her phone rang and then the kids started yelling in the classroom next to us. So we're here is church. I'm at my church. And every Friday I've been coming here, unlocking the doors, opening up classrooms, doing school here. And thus far, nobody else has shown up.
What am I?
You don't count. You're always.
What am I, job deliver?
You're always around. And so, yeah. So far, like it's been an exercise in tenacity and faith, because a lot of people would be like, well, apparently there's no demand for this kind of thing. The idea was to set up here every Friday and have a place where people can come and learn about homeschooling, and they can ask their questions, they can bring their own kids, everybody can like take a gander at my curriculum that I use, and
they can judge us
if they want. But so far nobody's taken us up on that offer.
I don't think people know about it.
I don't think they do either.
It's like, what, it takes three touches to even make a conversion normally, so I think a lot of people were interested when you first said it.
Yeah, it definitely needs to be spread around a little bit more, and there needs to be more.
Why couldn't they announce it like at some services? Like, I'm sure that you did at 9:15.
They did both services.
Once.
Oh,
yeah,
well, that's
but
not enough.
Your church is a little bit smaller too. I mean, how many have small children now?
I have no idea what the ratio is. But you guys are going to have to get much closer to the microphone.
Sorry.
Why don't you put this box on it, or put this box under it?
Tabby and I were getting pretty intimate over here.
It's because we both have the same sense of humor and tried to get close to the mic at the same time.
We pulled the same joke. Oh, no.
Yeah, but I'm just telling Carla, if you're listening, you're our friend, Carla, and you can be one of our sisters, too. But if you're... I'm telling you because I know that the tendency when you start doing a thing, particularly when it's a thing that involves getting up early and packing a lot of things, and
like
you don't immediately
suitcases.
See fruit from it, like you don't immediately see people coming and appreciating it, it's kind of like, well, I guess this isn't a thing I need to keep doing then. Uh-huh. And I don't necessarily think that's the case. I, like you said, I think it needs to be announced more. And I do think that there are people who will want to join us eventually, but just right now, we did not do our normal Just Because I Love You Day this week on Wednesday. So I was like, well, I'm going to be at the church on Friday, so why don't I just take the Rodecaster and we can podcast.
What's one more suitcase?
Right. What's one more collection of electronic devices? One more thing to remember. What could go wrong? And what went wrong was...
Inevitably.
It wasn't even that it went wrong. Like, I guess what was normal, but what a lot of people who don't homeschool wouldn't know is normal, is that my six-year-old had an epic meltdown.
I don't think I can describe, because you would need to know how big the church is, but from the lobby, you could still kind of hear her going.
Yes.
Like, and she is all the way down one wing of the church.
Yes. I mean, it was a epic level meltdown, because I guess I woke up this morning and was like, today's the day that I'm going to confront this that's been kind of bubbling under the surface. We're pretty lazy with the kindergarten work because it's easy. She knows how to do it. The majority of kindergarten is just teaching her how to be okay with doing school and obeying and cooperating.
When she definitely does not want to.
When she'd rather play. Yeah. And so that's why kindergarten is the worst. I've talked about this on episodes before. But today I was like, yep, today's the day that I'm not going to back down. I'm going to have to do what neither one of us wants to do, which is fight this one out. And I told her she should be embarrassed, because the way that she was acting, she knew was wrong, and she was telling me no and kind of swiping at me. She wasn't actually making contact and hitting me, but she was like taking swipes at me at first.
I was about to say, this is a very, very mild version of what was going on.
No, because I'm getting to how it escalated, because then I was like, you should be embarrassed. And so I reached for my camera, and so I decided I was going to videotape her, because this is a technique that I use sometimes. And some people may disagree with whether this is, you know, ethical or appropriate. But for me, being able to show my children what they look like to somebody else is helpful. Like later, once things have calmed down, if I can just say, look, this is what you were doing and it's not okay. So I get out the recorder, and as soon as she sees me, she knows what I'm doing. And
she's like, not this.
Oh, that kicked it up to what Tabby heard down in the lobby. And so then she was like throwing the chair out from under herself toward me, kicking me, like screeching, no, no, mommy. And she's like jabbing her pudgy little six-year-old finger at me, like, no, stop it, stop it. And I say all that.
I think you need to also make the disclaimer that Mandy does not post these online. Not going to Facebook and showing other people this. This is not like to embarrass.
Well, yeah, but also people who would be upset about that are also going to be upset about the fact that I'm right now naming her and describing it too, because they have a really, really low tolerance for children behaving this badly.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with it. I mean, it's a tool used for dance or theater or sports where you watch yourself on camera to see what needs to be improved upon. Why couldn't we do that for behavior? Like, look at this performance
I
you
wanted
did.
To make it well known that she's, because a lot of people take a video or take a photo of their crying child and they post it online, not to shame their child, but to be like, parenting is so hard. And they do it for more like sympathy points than anything else. So I wanted just to clarify, do my disclaimer thing.
But she does have a picture of Cammy crying on Facebook, and it's actually one of my favorite pictures.
I've got several of Cammy crying on Facebook. But I want to reiterate that there are people who also have a problem with me just even describing this for other people. And
your experience this morning is offensive?
Yeah, well, no, the fact that I'm talking about it and airing Emery's dirty laundry.
There's not autonomy. Emmy didn't consent.
Right. I'm sharing this without her
consent. I would have a different opinion if she was, you know, a preteen or even a teen or something. I wouldn't be doing that. But Emmy's six.
Yeah.
So I guess that's where I draw the line.
Yeah. And I don't think that any of that is, I don't think there is a line. I think that when you behave like this, this is part of the consequence.
My mom made fun of me when I was 12, hardcore, because I was an emotional mess at 12. And
Was she mocking you to, like, the entire public?
Well, and that's not the...
She would share the story.
That's not the point. It's not to mock anybody, and it's not to air their dirty laundry. It's a teaching tool. The reason parents don't know how to handle this is because parents have been told they're not allowed to talk about it. That's why.
Talking about it, I feel like, would be one thing. Sharing a story would be one thing. I'm not sure I would take a recording of, like, my teenager throwing a fit.
Oh, no. And I'm not necessarily talking about showing a recording, although I feel like if you are going to describe it the way that I'm describing it, like, what is the difference between saying she was throwing things and kicking and hitting at me and screaming, no, 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 mommy. What is the difference between describing it and painting that mental picture and actually showing a recording of it? But
in fact, like me, the reason I can read books is because my own mental picture of something is always going to be dulled versus if it was shown. Like, I've seen, I mean, I heard the meltdown anyways, but I saw the video and was like, yes, this, if you had described that to me and I hadn't seen it or heard it,
yeah,
I would not have known it was that level of bad.
Right.
Like, that level of crazy
with the
wild
fierceness in the eyes and the like the crazy
well,
eyes.
At the same time, I think I'm going to be disagreeing with you guys on this one, because there's a certain amount of just respect for, again, she's six, but she's still a human,
right?
So yeah. I hesitate to be like, yeah, you could totally post that recording, or you could totally share all these terrible stories of this other person, as like a respect thing, especially as they get older.
Right. There was absolutely nothing respectful about what she was doing.
Right. But you don't have to match her disrespect. That's what I'm saying. I feel like just because she's acting like a, you know, disrespectful monster doesn't mean that you have to also show her the same level of disrespect.
But I'm not sure how it's disrespectful, because when I was growing up, one of the reasons that I wasn't always a total turd was because I would think about, what if somebody was watching me?
Right.
What if somebody sees this? Or was this a story that I would want other people to share? Specifically with lying, I would say to myself, well, I don't want to have to lie, so I'm not going to do anything that's going to require me to lie to save face. Like, I don't want to have to lie about my behavior.
Is that a good motivation? I have to save face?
Yes, because if I thought to myself, if somebody asked me about this thing, I'm not a liar, so therefore I don't agree with whatever it is I was trying to do,
right.
So
I mean,
not going to do
we
it.
We should ultimately be living our lives as if everything will be revealed.
Right.
I totally agree with that. But then to take it upon ourselves to our children and be like, don't do that or I'm going to reveal you every single time you mess up, I feel like that really oversteps. Like that doesn't help to create any kind of safe space.
I am not a place where you can come act that sinful and expect me to cover for you. I'm not.
Right, but what if she comes to you and again,
speaking of which, there was another
somebody
one.
Was just screaming somebody in the other room. I think
very
it was silent.
he was pretty upset earlier because of Colin. So I have a feeling him and Colin are button heads right now.
Oh.
Yeah.
I may have to go.
Oh, shoot,
to go and make sure that Colin's not in there because he's supposed to be in school.
She said she's not a safe
yes.
place. But she's leaving.
You can
tell me. I understand.
Okay. You speak for Mandy. Speak for the trees.
I'm the Lorax. I speak for my sister.
But my question is like, okay, yes, you don't. Okay, so she doesn't want to be a safe space. But what happens when something happens? Or when they make a mistake or they make a mess up and they don't know how to make amends or they want to confess it? Like, does that not teach them that, hey, you're basically not going to be helped here? You're going to get your hand smacked. You're going to get exploited.
No, because I don't think that the negative consequences aren't seen as being, that would be me helping you.
Aren't
now,
you,
when I was
wait,
when
aren't
I was
you
12,
adding to the negative consequence? That's, I guess maybe that's where I want to go with it. Aren't you adding to
no.
the natural and negative consequences?
There it's, are no natural and negative. I'm back. There are no natural and negative consequences to a kid hitting and kicking and throwing things at their parents, and that's why they do it, because if they know their parent is quote safe, they'll keep shrieking, they will keep melting down because they know that they can get away with it. And I also want to clarify, I'm not, like Megan said, I'm not posting videos and I'm not saying that I would, but I do describe this for other parents because I think it's important for them to know their child is not a special kind of naughty because they've had to deal with this with their kids.
Right.
And the reason they think their kids are especially naughty, the reason they think that they're particularly bad, is because other parents think it's their job to cover for their child's sinfulness because they think it's respectful to lie, to not tell the truth about how bad their child is, how
I
bad
don't
their
view
child
it
is.
As lying.
But that's why I'm calling it that, because most people don't view it as lying. But that's actually what it is if you are covering for something that's true about them. If you're covering up something
right,
that's
and
bad.
I don't view it as making an excuse for it. I guess I don't view it as covering. I don't know. At what point, or is there ever a point where it doesn't matter how old they are? This is just what you do to people. Because I feel like that's where I'm like,
I think the older they get, the more they should expect to be watched, to be judged, to be seen.
I agree with calling people out. I feel
right.
like that's part of, you know, there's holy confrontation.
And during this meltdown, the whole reason I wanted to bring it up was so that I could explain the conversation that took place in the middle of it.
Sorry, I totally took us off track.
The majority of this epic meltdown, I was just sitting there looking at her. And if she would take a swipe at me or try to kick me, then I would swat her. And I would say, stop. And then I would just look at her and wait. And if she would take a couple of breaths or look like maybe she was going to let go, you know, and be done, I would say, you are making this worse with this behavior. You're still going to have to do what I asked you to do. Are you ready to cooperate, or are you still going to choose the hard way? And as I would talk to her, that would make her more mad. Yes, she would get all worked up again.
Oh, I remember being there.
Yeah, and I said at one point, and this was a good 15-minute, 20-minute ordeal, all told. At one point, while I'm just sitting there, and she's, you know, hyperventilating, she goes, stop, mommy, stop, stop. And I said, I'm not doing anything.
You are
the one who needs to stop. You are the one who's choosing to do what's wrong. Mommy is not doing anything wrong. You are choosing to do what's wrong. And the point, I think, is that kids need to be taught to think of things from other people's perspective. They need to realize, even though it feels like mommy's doing stuff, she's doing something, just her presence sitting over there makes me mad. She should stop sitting there. It feels like that's true, but they need to be taught to see things from outside of their flesh. And the common example that housewives or moms give on social media is, you can control yourself because when you're screeching at your children and the phone rings, your voice changes, your tone changes. And if you're a child who's screeching at your parents and suddenly grandma walks through the door or somebody else walks through the door, you know, that demonstrates that you actually do have a little bit of a self-consciousness. In this case, Emery did not care. She didn't care who was in the room. She didn't care who was listening. And that's why I said, you ought to be embarrassed, because I'm trying to get her to think about how this might look from outside of her own flesh. And yeah, it's a problem. It's actually a bad thing to not be self-conscious or not feel unsafe in a moment when you're being wretched and destroying relationships, destroying, you know, she was exhausted by the end. She didn't get the snack that she had hoped to get. She still ended up having to do the paper that she was gonna, right, you know, required to do. All of that has to be brought to their attention so that they can understand, you know, not only did you not get what you wanted, but you made it worse. And one of the things you did by making it worse was that you are changing people's perception of you. And that does matter. Like, when your family can't trust you to keep a cool head, when they know that they might take you somewhere sometime and you'll be in public and you'll potentially act like that too, it changes their behavior toward you. And that matters. So does that mean that I have to, you know, publish this video that I used to give her some perspective? No, and I'm not going to. But the whole purpose is to get her to realize that there are people watching, and that when people watch, they're going to be making judgments. And sometimes the judgments they make about you are accurate in a way that you don't like. You don't want them accurately thinking, wow, that kid loses her mind sometimes, you know, or wow, that kid really is disrespectful toward her mother. And if that's the case, if you're worried that somebody's going to see a video of you, then that's a you thing. That's something you have control over. Right. And that's what we're ultimately trying to teach them, responsibility and a sense of introspection, I guess.
Right. I think you even asked, would you want so-and-so to see this video?
And do you want daddy to see this video?
Then don't do the behavior. And that is a good motivating factor.
There's a question, Megan. If I took this video of Emery, would it be disrespectful toward her to show Luke, her father?
No, because he's responsible for raising her.
Okay. So
I would say, like, honestly, that would probably be, if we're drawing lines, that would probably be my line. It's like, the people who got to see it, I might show you guys to be like, how do I parent this child?
Right.
Because you're helping me raise the child.
Right.
If I were to go to my Facebook or Instagram or something and upload it as a reel, that's crossing a line.
Well, and I would agree with that because I don't think that people on social media are, I think it's really hard to teach people on social media, which is why, incidentally, we're here today.
Well, and I'm not looking for advice from everybody I have friended on Facebook.
Well, so. And I'm not looking for advice either. I've been doing this long enough.
That you've done it as a tool.
I'm the person giving the advice now. And what I'm saying is I wouldn't upload it on Instagram either because I don't have an Instagram account, but also because I don't think that the people on Instagram are within my sphere of influence. I don't think I can help them. But I'm telling Carla right now, talking right now to our small group of listeners right now, because I consider them close enough that I can use this as a tool to say, this is how real life is. And the reason that we're coming here to the church on Fridays is for that same reason, to show people how we do things. And that includes curriculum. That includes, how do I teach phonics? How do I teach arithmetic? And also, what do I do when it's a Friday morning and my six-year-old is just beside herself with fleshy nastiness? What do I do? If somebody had been here at the church today, which they were invited to be, they would have seen it. They would have seen it firsthand, and we wouldn't need a video.
Saw it.
Tabby and Megan saw it.
I've seen it before, though.
Yeah.
Tabby, where's the holy water? There needed to be an exorcism.
Yeah.
You know what? It might have actually helped, because some things that snap out Marcy is getting flicked with water.
I've tried water before, and it's the same thing with somebody like Emery when she's seeing red. Any stubborn child, anything escalates it at first until they finally realize. They run out of steam and they finally realize, yeah, mom is not going to budge on this.
But it takes so long. I'm already dreading kindergarten because Marcy and Emmy are not that different.
Yes.
And oh my gosh, I've had hour-long battles with Marcy over stuff before. Actually, our thing right now is long sleeves. So if you hear me complaining about long sleeves.
I told our dad, Tabby, about me going back and forth with Marcy about the jacket on Wednesday, which wasn't even a battle,
no,
I would say.
She didn't fight you like she would have tried to fight me about it.
She was just like, I don't want to. And I said, I know, I understand. Now, which jacket do you want to wear?
Do you want your unicorn mittens?
Do you want some unicorn mittens, Marcy? Yeah, I want unicorn mittens. Okay, let's finish putting on this jacket. But Aunt Mandy, I don't want to.
You're not understanding.
Right? And I said, I understand. You don't want to wear this jacket. Now let's finish buttoning it.
She now has a pretty bad habit where she wants me to roll her sleeves. Well, when she first started asking, they were like down past her hands. And I was like, of course I'll roll them. Now she wants me to roll them like up into t-shirts.
Up to her shoulders.
Yeah. And she like will cry and she's like, it's not perfect. And so I heard her starting to go ask her dad because he works from home now. And I'm like, no!
Don't do it!
I'm like, she has to. We live in Indiana. It's winter. She has to get used to long sleeves and pants. She just has to.
She used that phrase with me too, by the way. It's not perfect. When she didn't like her jacket and I was putting it on her. She goes, it's not perfect.
I don't know. I don't even think she knows what she means by that. She means it feels.
It's not right.
Yeah, it feels funny, which is a very OCD, like, I don't know what to do for you, Marcy, besides tell you sorry.
Right. And again, the reason that I even bring up these stories is because so many people resonate with them. They just need to be told, yes, that's normal. I deal with it too. Because a lot of people, and I told you while Emery was raging today, I said, this is the moment where parents would go, okay, that's it. We're making an appointment. We need some medication for this kid. And we talked about medication, two episodes ago or last episode? And we did have a listener. I don't want to go down the medication trail again today. I'm sure we will again in the future. We had a listener being like, you know, well, what about people who do legitimately need medicine? We didn't really talk about that much. And I get it. But what I'm saying is I have had four children. I've also helped teach hundreds of children. All of them have had some degree of this type of behavior. And we just don't know it because everybody's embarrassed to talk about it, or they think that it's somehow wrong.
Or it's a failure of parenting, and they're embarrassed. They're more embarrassed than their own child.
Or that it's, like you said, that it's a parent's fault. Like, I've had a lot of people tell me, like, well, why don't you just let her? And it's like, I have to teach her that long sleeves are a part of life.
Right.
She can't wear short sleeves and flip-flops all the time.
Right, and I told Emery she's not in charge probably three or four different times. calmly, but matter of fact, you know, you're not in charge. And I even told her, Emery, this is why you're not in charge. Because look, if you do whatever you feel like doing, you end up ruining stuff. You ruined your paper. You ruined this toy that you had in your hand at the wrong time and ended up breaking it in your anger. You know, you're hurting yourself and others with this control that you're trying to take. And that's why I'm the grown-up. Because when you try to do grown-up things, bad stuff happens. And I'm trying to help you be self-controlled because that's what it means to be a grown-up. I say a grown-up instead of mature. But, you know, the Bible talks about spiritual maturity and hitting these milestones and being more self-controlled eventually and having the fruits of the Spirit, the other fruits of the Spirit besides self-control. Yeah.
Oh, and don't be surprised if all of those nice sentiments go in one ear and out the other while they're raging.
Right.
It actually makes it worse right. to it's tell them.
Like it's not like she stopped shouting and was like, oh, mother, you make a good point. Like,
that's a good point, Mom. Thank you very much.
An EMT once told me that they have a phrase called seeing red, where yeah. literally so much of a person's brain actually shuts down. Like it stops working. Yeah. And so, yeah, it is. It's absolutely fight or flight. But it's a shocking percentage of your brain that actually works logically during that time. So if your kid is raging like Emmy was, it's not that she doesn't hear you or she doesn't understand. Yeah. It's that she's like, she just can't
even. She doesn't care.
Yeah, she doesn't care.
I was talking to her lizard brain, for sure. But yeah, they do hear you and they do understand and they will think about it later. And here's the thing. I don't even know if you guys heard it, but she straightened up after everybody else got their snack and she was sober. She came back into the classroom.
She wasn't seeing blue yet, but it was a mild yellow.
It was better. But you can almost see the wheels turning in their heads too. After a long battle, they're tired too. And she'll like consider revving back up again, but then she's like, oh man, it's not really worth it, is it?
I'm tired.
And so she came back in the classroom and I had her do the paper that she was refusing to do. And I pointed out to Tabby, okay, that took 2 minutes, you know.
It did, and it looked good.
She was done in no time. She worked actually hard on it. And then I asked her to do another paper after that. And she goes, okay. And when they're doing that, that's the submissive, you know, obedient, resigned. That's the word I was looking for. That resignation you're looking for where they're like compliant, where they're willing to work with you now. And so after that, a couple minutes later, I just called her over to me and she could just tell from the look on my face. I was like, just come here. And she came over and she goes, mama. And she put her hand around me, she put her arms around me. And so I gave her a big hug and she goes, sorry for throwing a fit. And said it just like that.
Say it as quickly and quietly as possible.
Sorry for throwing a fit. And I said, thank you for saying sorry. I didn't even ask her to. And I said, I forgive you very much. And I also love you very much. And she goes, I really wish I'd gotten some pudding.
Yes.
And I said, I know. It's really hard when our consequences happen and then we don't get what we wanted. And she goes, and I said, well, if you continue to have as good of an attitude as you have right now, I'll get you some chocolate when we get home. And she goes, yes, I want some caramel kind. And I said, we'll see what we can do. But that level of, you know, submission and compliance, that's what you're looking for. And it only comes on the other side of working through it in their own mind going, okay, mom's serious. She means what she said. And it's not worth it to keep this craziness anymore. So,
yep. Some of life's sweetest moments are on the other side of when you're like, what have I done? Who is not going to make it into their adult life? Yes. Which one of you is not going to make it?
I actually said to Cammy in Emery's hearing, I said, well, we were going to do our read alouds, but then we had to take a break because Emery had to conjure something from the pit of hell. And Emery goes, mommy, you're saying bad words. This is when she was still raging. And I said, actually, I'm not saying a bad word. I'm just saying that hell is really where Satan lives and that demons live there. And that sometimes we use the spirit of Jesus in our heart.
You've been calling him forth.
I said, have you been using Jesus's spirit today? And she was like, no. And I said, that was my whole point. So yeah.
For us, it's car rides. Usually yes. When I least expect it, sometimes days later, Marcy will pipe up from the back seat. Mommy, I'm sorry for all the bad attitudes. And I'm like, oh, thank you. Which one are you talking about?
because they're strapped in and they're thinking about things. You know, they take a break and they are able to look at themselves relatively objectively for just a moment, and they think about it. So it's cute. It's really rewarding to be able to see that process take place. But man, do you have to fight for it. And people don't realize how big the fight is.
I think we do need to specify, like, why do we care so much, just to kind of wrap this up, why do we care so much about getting our kids to submit? It's not because we're these dictators. I mean, I guess in a way we kind of are at this point in their lives.
I'm trying to be a holy dictator.
A holy dictator. Because eventually they're going to be adults who also have to submit to God.
Yep.
And that's the whole point. That's why it's worth fighting sometimes every day.
Well, and like I said to Emery, if you have your way, if you're in charge and you take control, you ruin things. You hurt yourself. You hurt other people. You're not making good, trustworthy decisions. So for your sake and everybody else's, I have to wrestle that power back from you. I have to take it back because you're not doing good things with it. So that's why, you know, we make a big deal out of it. And I just need to repeat again, the reason I'm even sharing it on this episode of this podcast is because I want others to know that it's normal and that you're not alone and that it really is that hard. And that's why we're meeting here at the church on Fridays. It's why we do all of the episodes of the podcast. And if anybody had happened to run into us at Walmart or happened to be walking past our house with the windows open, they would have gotten a full, you know, experience. They would have experienced it for themselves. And I'm hoping that by talking about it and by trying to give people some tips and some encouragement, I guess, that I can redeem that whole situation and make it something that we can use for God's glory. I'm hoping that today, though the last thing in the world that I wanted to do was fight with my 6-year-old, and the last thing in the world she wanted to do was her penmanship paper, I'm hoping that it was still something that we could offer back to God as a sacrifice that he can ultimately be proud of, you know, be glad for.
I need it too, because I have been like, you know what I'm going to do this week? I'm going to be more patient with my children. And God was like, ha ha, yeah, right you are. Here's all the things.
You asked for it. So
I know, that's what I said this morning after I had accidentally whacked my head on the door frame. I was like, I'm done. I don't want patience anymore.
Yes. The struggle is real, Carla. So email us, you know, or send us a comment on your favorite social media platform. Let us know if you're scandalized by the idea of fighting with your kids or recording them, even if you're not posting it on social media.
Team Mandy or Team Megan.
Yes. Let us know. Hashtag Team Megan.
Thank you for joining us for Just Because I Love You Day. You can also find us on MeWe in the group Four Sisters Birth and Motherhood Counseling and on Instagram, Four Sisters One Savior. Those are numerals. We also have an email account, foursistersonesavior@gmail.com. And those are also numerals, not words. Four Sisters One Savior. See you next time.